Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful morning. Isn't it amazing? God's wonderful provision we can see all around us this morning. And the sunshine, the weather, it's just a beautiful autumnal day, isn't it? And just lovely to see people here. It's lovely to know that we've got other people at the other side of a screen watching us. So good morning to you this morning. And God not only knows us as a congregation that are here today, he knows everybody. And like we prayed this morning, God knows us, but he knows who's going to be here in the future. And all our provision is not just for us, is it? It's for next generations. In Nehemiah 9, verses 5 onwards, says, "Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." Let's worship God this morning in Swallowness Baptist Church and beyond. Father God, this morning we just thank you for your provision and all you give to us. But we pray for the people who may still be struggling at this time. People with young families, people who are on their own, who account for every penny with nothing extra. God promises that if we turn to him in difficult times, he will give us peace beyond belief and beyond understanding. So please hear all our prayers, Lord, this morning. Amen. Father, we just thank you for all these powerful prayers this morning. But don't let them be just words that float away. Let them be followed up with action. We come with grateful hearts this morning, Lord, for this earth and everything you provide us with. Help us to use the time we have to do our bit for the changing environment, to be mindful of the people going through typhoons, floods, famine. Every day we switch the news on, Lord, and it's heartbreaking. I'm sure you're breaking your heart for your earth, the earth that you created. Let us never take for granted how much we owe you, Provider God, Giver of all things. Consider the needs in the world, but also close to our community. We pray for each and every person that's going through hardship, whatever reason that may be, Lord, that you will be very, very near to them this morning. Let them feel your presence as a tangible presence this morning. And we ask this in your mighty name and for your sake. Amen. Let's give thanks. Father God, bless this offering that we give with our love. We know that all things come from you, our provider. Through this money, let more people come to know you and be drawn to you in this community. In this church, we ask that you bless each and every one of us this morning. And thank you for the things that you give to us so that we can give back. We praise your mighty name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's such a pleasure this morning to welcome everyone here to our special harvest service. The sunshine just makes it even more better, doesn't it? I mean, it's just such an amazing feeling. And as we've been looking at God's provision, we just have so much to be thankful for. In a world that's chaos and feels as if it's falling apart, we have the assurances that our God is our provider, and we're just so grateful for that. And I'd just like to say thank you to my friend, Jan, for this lovely display at the front here that just about puts it all into a nutshell, doesn't it? God's goodness to us, thank you. And thank you for leading the worship, being very nice again, once again this morning, and also for the team that were singing, because if there weren't a team, they wouldn't need a leader, would they? So, you know. always a good way to start the service, so thank you. Dave is going to be speaking to us shortly, so we look forward to what he has to say in a few minutes. After the service this morning, we will be having tea and coffee down at the front here, but also we will be having a bring and share in the school hall. Don't worry if you didn't know or you've forgotten or whatever, please do stay if you can. There's loads of food. There's at least 6 pizzas. the biggest sherry trifle I've ever seen. I'm just tempting you in case you want to come and stay. Sorry about you guys on YouTube that are not going to be able to join us. But if you can, please do stay. There's lots. It's a lovely time to sit and share and eat something. Just a nice time together. I'd just like to mention the coffee morning and food sale that we had yesterday. Thank you so much to everyone who supported it in whatever way, whether donations or donations of food or whether you came and bought stuff and helped to set it up and keep it going for the couple of hours that we were here. It's very much appreciated. We do have some food left from the food that was donated for the sale. Please do come and have a look. Is there anything that you'd like to buy? The prices are very cut down. There's not we're not selling at shop prices, put it that way. All the information that you need is down here. There's bags and everything else. If you'd like to buy some for yourself or you know someone that will benefit, please do come and have a look at the end of the service. And if anyone would like to donate to BMS, at the moment we've raised £92.76. Well, that'll be ongoing for a while, so if anyone feels they'd like to donate in any way, there's also a box down here to do that. So that's, you can have a look at that later. Just a few more notices then. The men's breakfast next Saturday morning down here at church at 8:30. It's starting up again since 2 years at least that we had the last one. Michael, George and Mark are the guys that you need to see if you need any more information, but if you can tell them that you're coming, that'd be great. But if not, it doesn't matter. Just turn up. There'll be plenty to eat. And then on Sunday the 23rd of October, we're having a cafe church, which is a bit different, obviously, to what we normally do. But an excellent time to invite family, friends, come and have some breakfast. There'll be a very short talk at the end of it, time to chat, perhaps do a few activities. Just a little bit different to what we normally do. But it's a really good time to invite people maybe that don't to church on a regular basis, just to see what it's about. And then on Monday the 31st we have our light party, which is the alternative to Halloween. We've been doing this for a long time now and it's brilliant. We have a really good time. It's all free. It's an all-age thing. It's not just for children. There'll be food and it's just a really good time. Gets people out of the house sometimes as well, because it can be a bit scary, can't it? So please bear that in mind. That's Monday the 31st of October. Shoebox appeal. This is not one I've made earlier, obviously. But they are very easy to put together, apparently. I've put some at the back. I think it's the middle of November when they will be delivered. So it's a good 6 weeks or so to get it sorted. Please do take a leaflet. If you take a shoebox, please do take a leaflet, because there's a lot of information on there. There are restrictions to what we're allowed to put in. So it can go online and do it. You know, technology's like it's amazing. But you really do need one of these as well with the box. So there's some at the back there if you'd like to take one when you... there's still some newsletters at the back if you didn't get one last week. Please do take one, give them out to family, friends. There's lots of information there. Thanks to Janet and Chris for doing that again for us. And, of course, the website, Facebook page and weekly updates are all still ongoing. So, but then we've still got the good old telephone, even though it's mobile. Please do get in touch and speak to us if there's anything that you need. I'd just like to finish with something I found off the internet, and it's just autumn blessings, but I thought it was just really nice for this special day. O God of creation, you have blessed us with the changing of the seasons. As we welcome the autumn months, may the earlier setting of the sun remind us it's time to rest. May the brilliant flowers of the leaves remind us of the wonder of your creation. May the steam of our breath in the cold air remind us that it's you who gives us the breath of life. May the harvest from the fields remind us of the abundance you have given and bounty that we are to share with others. May the dying of summer spirit remind us of your great promise that death is temporary and life is eternal. We praise you for your goodness forever. Amen.
Well, just before I get into our harvest sermon and that this morning, I'd want to extend my welcome to you all and say good morning. You're welcome, you're loved, God loves you. And also just to bring you up to date with where we were at with the children's and families worker. As you know, we did interviews on Thursday, thanks. For some reason, I had Monday in my head. I don't know why, but there we go. Busy week. And as you know, we had 5 application requests and 2 came in for that. And we interviewed. And it was, I'll be honest, difficult interviews. They were great. Don't get me wrong. They were brilliant. Interviewed really well. Brought out lots of points. There was Rob. Jodie, who's the Children's and Families Enabler from the Yorkshire Baptist Association, joined us for that, and myself. And it was a great evening, if you like. And unfortunately, there could only be one person. And so I'd like to introduce, if I may, the new Children's and Families Worker for Swarness Baptist Church, if you want to come on up. Please, Jan. What are you looking all embarrassed for? Yeah, don't be. So yes, Jan is going to be our new children's and families worker for here in the church and the community. We're looking at putting all that together. We've still many things to do and to go through, but we're working on that. And we hope, certainly possibly within the new year, to really get cracking and do stuff. There's lots of things to put in place, lots of things to organise and do that. But I just wanted to introduce and bring up to date fully that it is Jan that was successful. And of course, we pray for you and with you over that. But we also pray for those that applied and also for the person that was unsuccessful. We also pray that God would bless them in their walk and in their journey and where he has them and what he has for them. And that's important as to where that will be. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that as we, putting it as it is, bravely and boldly stepped out in your name all those months ago with that call in that direction to be leading into this vital area that we need, not only within our church, but within our community as well. Lord, we stepped out faithfully and we journeyed to see who you would be sending to us. And Lord, along that journey, there was many conversations, there was many things to put in place. But Lord, you guided us through that. I will admit at times it did seem a bit unclear as to how this would come about. But Lord, we never lose faith. We never doubt because you are a good and gracious God. And so Lord, we thank you for the journey that we've taken, Lord. We thank you that you have shown to us that Jan is the person to lead in this area. But Lord, we pray that as she gets into this role in the coming months and the years ahead, Lord, that you would anoint her, that you would protect her, and you would strengthen and encourage her for the work that you would want her to do, into the places that you would have her go. And Lord, above all, that their hearts will be receptive to the word and the love of Jesus Christ as she brings and shares that with them. And Lord, we also thank you for the other applicants that requested the forms and the information. And Lord, for the other person that came and presented themselves at interview as well, Lord, we pray that you would just guide them, that you would speak into their hearts. That, Lord, in and amongst maybe the disappointment, Lord, you would just guide them and care and love for them. Show them for where you want them to work and the work that you have for them, the plans that you have for them that would prosper them and not harm them. So, Father, we thank you for this journey as we continue. It's not ended. In fact, in a sense, it's almost beginning. Guide us, Lead us, Lord, and just take us to where we will see your kingdom grow, to share the love of Christ with people within our community and beyond. We thank you in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. And as we're preparing, as we're coming to hear God's word in a moment, we're just going to look at our harvest, because it's another harvest festival. And even though it's... No, I won't go there with that song. We look, and as we said already, we're partnering with BMS, and we're seeing what great work that they're doing. But as we're looking into that, if you want to get your Bibles and you want to turn to page 152, because part of it, part of the theme of this year's harvest with BMS is looking at Deuteronomy 8. But BMS, in their harvest appeal this year, are looking at helping to transform the people's lives in the village of Gusil in Nepal. And as we've said already, part of our collection from this weekend, from the coffee morning yesterday, and our tithe for this month will go to help support the workers and the people of Gusil in Nepal. What they're seeking to do is they're seeking to transform lives in the village. And as we go through and just look at this, of what BMS are doing, they're looking at transforming livelihoods, transforming health, and transforming education. And we'll get into a few stories in a moment that they're telling us that the workers on the ground are saying from the people within that village. And it's just crazy to think that in this day and age, in the 21st century, in the year 2022, almost going into 2023, that people do not have access to clean water, have to pay for education, and make difficult decisions as to whether their children are educated or not, as to whether the money that they've got. And we're going to hear some of those stories in a moment. As they say, and forgive the slide, we'll get that sorted. But all the information I'm going to put out in the weekly update tomorrow, so you'll have links to BMS and particularly their appeal and some of the ways that change the lives, like £29 to give a family access to breeding goats and veterinary training to help rear and help rear healthy and productive animals. Goats are their livelihood, so rearing them and looking after them enables them to sell them for various things and provide money for them. £70 can equip 20 people with vital water management and hygiene skills to fend off dangerous waterborne diseases. How ridiculous is that? To me, I'm sorry, but that is just ridiculous, isn't it? To think that in this day and age, just £70 can equip 20 people to have clean water, whereas we can go right through there now and turn the tap on and leave it running all day if we like. But yet they have to fight for it and find it. And then, of course, the education side of it as well. But transforming livelihoods, and like I say, this information's from BMS, and this transforming livelihoods, in a sense, the first one is Bishnu's story. This is Bishnu, who lives out in the village in Nepal. He said, last year, in the rainy season, 10 of my goats died. I had to spend the money that was supposed to be for my children's education on treating the goats. That decision, the money that he was saving for his children's education, he had to make the difficult decision and spend it on treating the goats. And we had taken care for them for a long time, and they just died, the goats. Bishnu's 36 years old. He has four daughters and a grandson to support. And like I say, he had to make that difficult decision last year as to whether to save his money and continue saving for his children's education or use it for the treating of his sick goats. And like I say, it was too late. They died anyway. And the goats are his livelihood. Without them, things are really difficult for his family. Veterinary training and access to breeding a goat, would help Bishnu make more of a stable income and keep his children in school. Something as simple as that. As it says on there, and you'll see when you look at it, £29 can give a family access to breeding goats and veterinary training to help rear healthy and productive animals. And then they look at transforming health. And this is Anita. She says, my dream for our community is that every household has good access to water. She says that she lives in the village of Goosehill with her husband and their baby boy. And she says that there's a big problem with drinking water in the community. As a result, people often get sick with diarrhea. This is due to unclean drinking water. She says that the source of Goosehill's water is another community and it's not well protected. They say that there's open defecation there. She says that there are houses near the water source and they wash their clothes and animals roam freely near this water source. And so it's becoming polluted and deteriorating. Anita says that she wants every household to have access to the clean water. And by teaching the people of Goosehill how to manage their water safely and ensure it's clean before they drink it. And together we can help the community keep healthy and safe from diseases. And then they look at transforming education. And this is Tara. Tara says, looking at this community, I see a lack of education. People are economically poor, so they don't have enough money for their children's school and school materials. And that is why they then drop out of school. She moved to the village when she got married, and when she grew up outside of the village, had the opportunity to finish school, whilst her husband and many others in the village did not. Right now, Tara's children are little, just 4 and 6. But she wants them to get a good education now so that when they're older, they'll be able to stand on their own 2 feet. Tara would like her children to be able to go and have good jobs and earn a good wage so that they're able to save money and they have enough to help the families who are poor and are sick and are needing support. A child-centred classroom with well-trained teachers for Goosehill's youngest pupils would enable children like Tara's to start their education well and give them more opportunities that their parents didn't have. And so as we look at this, this is BMS's appeal for the good land to raise funds, vital funds for training and for people to have good education, access to clean water, and of course, good, healthy animals to raise. And like I said, our contributions will go to the team of BMS and out on the ground. But it's also backed up with stories that we've heard. And one in particular is the Baptists Together president, Hayley Young, this year's president. And what she's saying, particularly from Deuteronomy 8, which we'll get into in a moment, she says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills." And she's saying it reminds us all of God's heart to dwell with his people, to bring them into a place of wholeness and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The context of this verse here, she says, is about remembering God's protection and God's loving discipline. It's a message to the Israelites emphasizing the uniqueness of God and a reminder to the covenant relationship between God and his people, something that we still hear and know today. And she says that's why it's a powerful verse to reflect when we think about the work that BMS is involved in Goosehill. The verse reminds the Israelites what God was doing in and through them, and when at times, even though it was tough in the wilderness, reminded of God's amazing generosity and provision, a sense of changing of direction from the barren desert to a good land. She says it reminds us all that God is not distant, is not distracted or disconnected from the challenges of people or the communities, but that he comes to bring wholeness and goodness. And by working in and through his people, we see the work that is being done then and now, as such as people of BMS. She finishes by saying that God calls each and every one of us to respond by partnering with him in bringing wholeness in whatever way that looks like within our communities. And it's different for each in our context. But showing the people the good land that he is calling us into by being Jesus' hands and feet to those around us, using the resources that he abundantly blesses us with and the skills that we have as individuals and communities. I'm going to invite Deirdre up, who's going to share God's word with us from Deuteronomy 8. Thank you, Deirdre.
"The whole commandment that I command you today
you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Let's just pray as we come to hear what God's saying to us through this passage this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. It's good that we read it often in its fullness, Lord. And we just want to have this time this morning where our hearts and our ears and our minds are open and receptive to hear what it is you're saying to us today. Lord, something that was written and that happened over 3,000 years ago, Lord, how does that fit into us today? What's the context there? What's the link in that? What is it that you're saying to us of something that happened then in a completely different land, in a different time, in a different context? Lord, reveal that to us, I pray, by Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I just said, about 3,000 years ago, Deuteronomy was written around 1406, 1407 BC by Moses. Although the end of it was probably written by Joshua after Moses' death, the final summary that we find there. And it was written to remind the people of what God had done and encourage them to rededicate their lives to him. We know that as we read through Scripture, the history of it, and certainly in the Old Testament, the lives that the Israelites led through the wilderness and all what God had done and how he'd brought them out and how he kept turning against them, how they kept turning against him, how they kept doing their own things, even to the point where poor Moses, as we did last year in our Exodus series, where it was up and down the Mount Sinai, and yet all around at the bottom, whilst the people were waiting there, they got fed up and bored and said, make us a God in our own image. In the golden calf came about. And yet God's still reminding them of what he had done, of how he had brought them out of slavery, how he had provided for them in every shape, way and form. Through the manna, through the striking of the rock where the water gushed out, and through leading them to the promised land, to giving them in the end. And we know not all made it. And I've said before, I think Moses gets a real rough deal where he doesn't step foot. He sees it, God takes him up and goes, there you go, now off you go. Shocking. But here, this whole book of Deuteronomy, when you read through it, is about not forgetting what God has done for his chosen people. God is warning his people that they may forget him, and he commands them to remember and not forget. In this particular chapter, he does it 5 times through verse 2, 6, 11, 14, 18. He's saying, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for these 40 years. Not 40 days or 40 minutes, but 40 years. He led them the whole way. And we spoke about that in that series before, by the pillar of fire and by the pillar of cloud. God never left them. Came to a point, as we remember back in there, and as you know the story well, where God says, go. I ain't coming with you. And yet there was that transformation. They remembered and they turned around and came back to their God, the one that loves them so passionately, without any bargaining. He loves them so much. Observe the commands of your Lord, your God, walking in his ways and revering him, he says. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord, your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees. Your heart, he says, will become proud and you will forget the Lord, your God. But remember the Lord, your God, he says. Now, let's be honest, I think it's fair to say we all forget things. I mean, if you don't believe in that, who can tell me what I spoke about 2 weeks ago? Anyone? Peace? No, it wasn't me 2 weeks ago, it was Simon. But never mind, don't worry. We forget these things. We forget. But it's true. I forget. Goodness me, do I forget. But I think it's also fair to say that we forget the way that God blesses us over time, over the years that we know him. Often, though, we take those blessings for granted as well. And yet Deuteronomy 8 gives us a wonderful list of reasons why we should remember God in all his fullness, in all his grace, in all his mercy, in his abundant provision that he pours out, not only to his people then, as we read and see that, and when Jesus comes through and blesses his people in miraculous ways, but how we in our own lives can see how he's blessed us individually and corporately together. We see that we only saw that a few weeks ago in our members meeting, where we saw how God is blessing us abundantly, the provisions that he gives and that he provides, and how we're able to use that to bless other people. It's seeing that kingdom growth. And yet all good things come from the Lord, and he's provided a good land, it says. And have we not a good land that we live in now? Even though it's in turmoil and chaos, if you were to wipe that away and just look, we live in a land of an abundance, where rivers flow and streams flow into one another, and fruits grow of all different kinds, and food is there. But sadly, how mankind and people with power, with greed, seem to control that and take over. But all blessings of heaven are God's gift to us. Sufficient reasons, as it says in itself, to observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. And yet still there's then warning of that. Because he says, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, in verse 17. And he reminds in verse 18, but remember the Lord your God in all that has been given. Therefore, we should be giving thanks, as it says back in verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land. How often when we're eating food do we think of where it's come from and the hands that produced in making that and how that was grown and how it came to be? But for the land that he has given you, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that he says, I am giving you this day. It's all by grace. We've said this many times, it's all by grace. There's that joke I think I've shared before where there's the scientists and God, and the scientists together, and they say, we can make food grow. And so God says, okay, I'll have a race with you then. So he says, right, how are you going to make the soil? And God says, I've already done that, I'll take this. He says, no, I made that. How are you going to produce your soil? And then how are you going to produce the water to make your plants grow? I think you need to go back to the drawing board. Because when we try to see stuff, as it says in there, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth. You need to remember where that came from. That we don't produce anything ourselves. And actually, in truth, sometimes the only things we do produce is misery and chaos and upset. But that we remember the Lord our God. And therefore, when we've eaten and are satisfied, we give thanks for the good land that is given us. And then often when we pause to give thanks, do we do that in the bad times as well as the good, or is it just generally the good times that we give thanks? And I've said this before and I hold my hands up, often it's in the good times and not so often in the bad. Because often in the bad times we're going, hang on a minute, God, why? How? Why would you? How dare you? When we're faced with real struggles, when we're faced in situations that we can't work out and understand why. Why, God, would you? How can you allow? There's no praise often coming there. But that we don't forget of what he's done, or who he is. And it's easy to say, it's just coming to my mind now, it's easy for me just to say right now, his ways are not our ways and our ways are not his ways. But Christ alive, how hard is it to actually believe that? How hard is it to look and see, God, where are you in all of this? When it's easy to say, we know you're right there with us. Your very presence is with us everywhere we go. You're everywhere. How can we hide from you? You're there. When we hide here, you're there. When we hide there, you're there with us also. And yet here's a picture, if you like, of far too many people. And even we can put ourselves as Christians in this, who enjoy so many good things, but forget it is the Lord who gives it. So many people, we find houses as we read throughout Deuteronomy, and the large herds and flocks who don't have time for God as their silver and gold increases and their possessions multiply. Because why? They're too busy laying up their treasures on earth to think and contemplate the treasures that are laid up in heaven for them. And there's another reminder, as Deirdre beautifully read to us in our passage this morning in verse 4, where there's that reminder of that your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Because God not only provides the luxuries in life, but the necessities too. And often we need to remember that God will provide for our needs. I'll say it in a different way. God will provide what he knows we need, not what we think we need or what we know we might need. God provides for our needs. And I'm sure I can count many people's testimonies that could come up here from you guys this morning to come up and share how God has blessed you abundantly in ways that you've never seen before, never imagined, didn't expect. when maybe you was going through a difficult time or even through a good time, and God just blessed you abundantly. When you didn't need to ask. Why? Because God knows that you needed it at that time. And he wanted to bless you. Not, oh, I wonder if I said, do you know what? I'm going to use you, Julie. I'm going to bless you. Is that okay? He doesn't ask you in that way. He just does it. Because he knows the need. It's not a bargaining thing. Oh, is it all right if I do this for you? Well, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I really need that. But then can I then have this, this, and that? Because that's how we'll probably go. It's the fact that he knows what you need, when you need it, and will give it to you. Often we find we're in the struggles of like, I really need this now, God. Why won't you? And again, it's easy to say from this perspective, just to sit back and think, well, maybe I don't need that right now. Maybe I need to be in a time of waiting where something's going to happen that's even greater. Because again, and I've said this when I first came, and it's true, I call it pepper pot in prayer. Where you are in a position where you're going through such a terrible time and you've no idea how you're going to get through it, and you look and you're praying and you look back and you see, how the heck did I get through that? And you see the blessings that God has brought upon your life as you've got through that, and then something else happens and you just pepper potting forward each time, praying. And always looking back, that's how I got through that. But also true to know that sometimes God won't reveal why. Because his ways are not our ways. Our ways are not his ways. Sometimes it's better for us not to know why. But know that it is God who gives and gives abundantly. God rescued his chosen people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. God has rescued us from the slavery of sin through his son, Jesus Christ, who took that punishment for the sin that we deserved. He died in our place upon the cross, and so our sins are forgiven. Not by anything we did, because let's face it, some of us, I know we might be dinosaurs, I count myself in that, I feel old sometimes, but we weren't around when Jesus was taken the cross to the place upon the hill. He did it for us. And that in doing so, we are no longer God's enemies or under his judgment. Instead, we're God's children, as I said in my prayer this morning, sons and daughters, heirs and graces of the beautiful heavenly realm and the treasures that are stored up for us. Even before we was even created, they're there. That's our inheritance. He's brought us into a good land. How we use it and how we treat it depends on sometimes what we gain from that. To reach out here into our community and to bless it with God's love and God's provision that he provides us. What does that look like? What does that look like? It's an exact mirror image of what goes on throughout the whole of Scripture. That's what it looks like. That's what we're called to do as gospel people, as followers of Christ. It's to see exactly what was going on then and go, my goodness, that's what we're to do now. It's as simple as that, and it truly is as simple as that. To see how God graces his people with his love and his provision, and to see, so are we like that. So then how can we? That's where the fun and the work begins. You've got it all to come, John. But we know that God is bringing us into a good land. We know that Jesus promises life and in all its fullness. So how does that impact our dreams? Dreams like Anita, dreams like Tara, dreams like Bishnu, and all the other people of the village of Gusel. Dreams where they're dreaming that they can have fresh water, or healthy goats, or children that can be educated so that they can get a better start in life than that they never had. In the 21st century, in the year 2022, going into 23, what does that look like? The dreams and the aspirations we have for ourselves, for our families, for our communities. What does that look like when we turn to God and say, God, we remember it's you that gives us this. We remember that it's you who has provided all of this, and we need to remember that it's you who will send us and guide us to where we need to go and do what you want us to do. And in that, we see God's kingdom grow. We see the abundance, and we know the abundance that we have here within this church with such generous people, because God has been generous to us. This passage reminds us that we're to thank God for those provisions that He's given us, His guidance and His love. The fact that we're transformed through the blood of Christ, through Holy Spirit dwelling within, that we're then able to go and reach out and share a glimpse of the promises of God by being, as Haley says, Jesus' hands and feet into the places where He'll take us, into the community, journeying alongside, lifting up, empowering and doing in word and in deed. To see God's kingdom grow. I believe we've done some of that this weekend. I believe that as we came together and discerned of how we can help in a small, simple way, and we see the abundance of food that has been given, and we know to the families that may go to and bless abundantly, the fact that they may not know that this is coming, but yet God does, because He puts into place His provision. It's how we're able to seek ways of reaching out to the least, the last and the lost of our community, knowing that God leads us every day and that our path through this faith and through this journey can be easier and safer when we acknowledge Him and give Him thanks for all that He has done and for all that He has continued to do for the good land in which He calls us into. So praise God for His blessings upon us. Praise God, and let's take time to thank Him for guiding us through life, for bringing us into where we are today, because it's by His love, His providence, which has kept us safe, as it did almost 3,500 years ago with the Israelites going through the desert wanderings, as it did when He brought them into the promised land, as it did when Jesus sat upon that hill and fed 5,000 people with a small boy's lunch of a couple of loaves and fishes. God cares for His people. He cares for you. He cares for me. He wants His people to flourish. And as Haley wrote, and I'll finish with this, God calls each and every one of us to respond by partnering with Him in bringing wholeness to communities, showing the good land, and He is calling us by being Jesus' hands and feet to those around us, using the resources and the skills we have as individuals and communities. And the challenge from BMS and from Haley, as she wrote, what resources and skills has God given you to help bring about good land for others? How can you enter transforming communities with the good news of Jesus by enabling people to live in a good land? Because this is fiercely what is on God's heart, that all people should flourish. Let's pray. Father God, we are reminded this day through Your word that nothing is done by chance, nothing is done in our own strength or in our own power, but all done by You. For Lord, You created and formed this world. You created and formed us in Your image. In Your image, You created us. And Lord, as I lead in this prayer, I seek forgiveness that we have tried to make it all our own. That often greed or manipulation or control seems to creep in. That we want to do it in a particular way that we want to do it and ignore You in the way that maybe it should be done. Lord, by Holy Spirit, as it dwells within, would You speak and would You guide and would You lead us to those that are in need? Give us the confidence maybe that when we're stood with someone just to strike conversation and to hear and attentively hear to what it is they're saying. Because it's maybe through that, Lord, that You would put on our paths a way that they could be helped for the way that You're wanting to help them and bless them. for the abundance that you have generously poured out upon us. Lord, help us in this ever-increasing chaotic world to bring about your peace and your love. Even if it's one by one, step by step, day by day, we want to see your kingdom grow. Not for us that we see that, but Lord, in the fact that your kingdom would grow abundantly and that all people would come to recognize that you are Lord of all. That it is you that all good things come from. That it is you that would lead us into this good land. That there could bring about a transformation of livelihoods, of health, and of education. Lord, we think of those in the village of Gusel, in Nepal. We think of those many other places around the world that do not have access to clean running water and sanitation, let alone good food. Lord, would you break the hearts of those that are in charge and control this? Would you bring about your peace? Would you bring about your love and allow your abundance to flow? Lord, come and bless these lands and these nations, we pray. Help us, Lord, to reach out to those that are in need. Help us to be Jesus' hands and feet to wherever we may find ourselves and with whomever we find ourselves. That they too would catch a glimpse of the transformational, incarnational Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask this in your name and for your glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Just going to read a little bit of Psalm 57. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. And let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. Father God, this week, protect and guard our hearts. Burdens are not meant for people to go through alone. Guard us against anxiety and fear. Build our faith so that we can trust in you, Heavenly Father, to provide for our every need, because we serve an amazing God. Amen. Shall we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.